On today's episode of the Brad and Will Show, we're just going to be recapping the Rockets' young core of six, their season, and our thoughts on them so far. So stay tuned. All right, and welcome back to the episode of the Brado and Will Show. I'm your first host, as always, Will. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I think it's all the platforms, at Bias Houston. Over there, we've been covering a lot of the Houston Rockets. We can kind of branch out to the Texans. Obviously, there's the post-game spaces, all that good stuff. So you want to tap in with some Rockets content, Houston sports content, that's the place to do it. I'll shout out the Brado and Will page on socials and on YouTube as well, and I'll pass it off to Brad.
Yeah, as always, y'all know where to find me at Brado NBA, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff, favorite hats, stats, highlights, I got y'all covered. But it's been a little minute since we recorded an episode, so we wanted to come in and give an update on this Rockets young core of six. This past game where they beat the Detroit Pistons, all six of them played for the second time, only the second time of this whole season, this 31 games. So they obviously all played really well, so we wanted to talk about each one of those players today. And we'll kick it off with Jalen Green. We'll kick it off with Jalen because Jalen's had a roller coaster season. The story of his career has been inconsistency with a lot of promise shown when he's playing really well. But it got pretty ugly in the early parts of December to the point where Ime Udoka wasn't even playing him down the stretch. He wouldn't play for the last 18 minutes of some games, or the last 20 minutes of some games. And it was becoming way too consistent. But this past three games, he came out there and he's been hooping really well. And of course, it's going to take a lot more consistency than that for Jalen to be on a better trend. But we like what we see right now. And I want to kick it off to Will. I'm curious to see what Will thinks about what we've been seeing from Jalen Green.
I thought his season as a whole has been it's been disappointing. I think that's the most apt description I can use to describe Jalen Green's season. I expected a lot from him. I didn't think he was going to necessarily make the All-Star team this year, but I definitely thought that he was going to put himself in like a conversation where, like, if somebody gets hurt, they might consider him for the spot. I thought that, you know, that we could expect that from him in his third year. He had the point guard necessary, the coach necessary, the roster necessary. So I was a little disappointed when the season started and he wasn't as efficient, or not even as efficient. He wasn't aggressive or efficient to start the season. And it's not even started for the vast majority of the season, honestly. And as Brad touched on, that's one of the main reasons why he got benched, because he doesn't play make or defend or rebound. You know, those things he doesn't do at a high enough level to where if he's not scoring, you don't really want him out there right now. So, I was all in favor of Udoka's ideas to bench Jalen. It was a little concerning and disheartening seeing Jalen get benched so many games consecutively, too, a lot of which were, like, against bad teams. That was a little disheartening. But to kind of – not to harp too much, if you keep up with the spaces and Twitter, you probably – heard enough about Jalen Green and when he was struggling. One thing that I did notice, or I remember Udoka saying very recently, was that Jalen Green could just kind of get it going at any given moment. Like, just once that switch flips for him, that's it. And I mean, these last three games have been, in my opinion, you could probably argue this is the best, like, three stretch game of Jalen Green's career outside of what that last 15 games of his rookie season where we were playing against teams weren't really trying. But, like, in terms of last year, or like especially this year, where the expectations are to win and start playing winning basketball, he's been playing really good basketball recently. I got his numbers pulled up. He's averaging 25.3 points per game, 5.3 rebounds, 2.7 assists. He's shooting 53.3% from three on 10 attempts, which is insane. And he has a 67.5 true shooting. Now, obviously, like, it's a three-game sample size, so this doesn't necessarily make up for the entirety of the season, and it doesn't necessarily mean that he's a completely different player. But it is a step in the right direction. And like I said, this is not something that we were able to see from Jalen up until this point in the season. So I'm liking what I'm seeing from him and how he's kind of turning the corner. He's just kind of putting the start of the season behind him. He's kind of making a new transition forward. And I'm hoping we can see some more of that tomorrow and the season progresses, if he can kind of start building from what he's doing. So for me, it was always the confidence thing. I didn't necessarily think it was like a skill or talent. I think he was just in his head too much for the first time in his career. So yeah, that's my general thoughts on where Jalen is right now.
And yeah, I thought you made a great point on that three game sample. This is the first time he's made five threes three games in a row since that final stretch of the season where he ran off.
And not to cut you off, but he didn't even play in the fourth quarter yesterday. So, like,
yeah.
You know, but yeah.
Yeah, had a good game, 22 points, five boards. But yeah, literally the first time since he had those five games his rookie season with 30 points in a row. So it's great to see Jalen out there playing well. I mean, it is a confidence thing with him. He can make any shot in the book. His shot creativity, shot creation ability is extremely impressive around the basket and from three-point range. The stats back that up on Basketball Index. So, again, we're just going to be looking for a consistency. But what I like from Jalen personally is when he's not forcing shots and his shots come within the flow of the offense. Personally, what I saw yesterday, I saw him taking a lot of easier shots. Catch and shoot from LP. It wasn't anything that was forced in the mid-range. A lot of the shots I don't like from Jalen come from mid-range and they're extremely contested. And before, you'll probably catch yourself saying like, Jalen, I don't know about that. And then most likely it probably won't fall, especially because he's in a slump. But now when that confidence is flowing, a lot of those other shots are probably going to start dropping as well. So I want to see how long this can last. It's impressive right now, and I've been liking what I'm seeing. But, yeah, we can kick it to the next player. The Rockets' hopeful all-star, Alperen Şengün. He's averaging around 21 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists, 62 shooting percentage on the year. Past five games, averaging 29 points. Yeah, the kid, he surprised me every game. But I'll say this really quickly, then I'll just pass it off to Will. I'll give my Şengün piece. Well, I've been impressed with him recently this season. First 20 games of the year, he was terrible. And my one critique with him this season, he was terrible at the free throw line. First 20 games was shooting 63% from the stripe. And he gets there a lot. We've seen this in his career, his three-year career. He can get to the line because his post moves are so savvy. His pump fakes are very impressive. A lot of defenders will usually fall for it. But if he's not making them and the Rockets have late-game situations where Alperen at the line, he was missing way too many of them. But now, past 10 games, or past 11 games, in fact, shooting around 85% from the stripe on six attempts a game. And that's superstar stuff when you're able to score whenever you want to, like he's been this year. So that's why I've been impressed with LP. Again, the defense was improved earlier in the year, kind of was starting to fall off a little bit in the pick and roll coverage, but it's been better as of late as well. So again, only players in NBA history that have put up 21, 9, and 5 with a shooting percentage over 50% of every single one of them have made the All-Star game. It's a good list of players. I have it on my Twitter page, a bunch of Hall of Famers. So hopefully LP continues that streak. But yeah, he's been amazing. I have no complaints about him at the moment. The kid's been balling. But what do you think, Will?
I think he's been amazing. He's been, without question, the Rockets' best player this year, which I guess I might be jumping a bit of the gun here, but one of the narratives that I see on Twitter a lot that I just vehemently disagree with is that our rebuild is cooked and, you know, we've rushed the timeline because we're getting carried by our vets and our young core isn't really contributing. And so, you know, when the vets leave, we're going to be stuck. But, like, to me, that just tells me you're not watching the games because just off rips, our best player is a 21-year-old, right? Like, he's not even going to be 22 until, was it June or July, something like that? Like, he's going to be 21.
July, man.
Yeah, it's this offseason. He's going to be 21 this entire season, and he's without question our best player. So, like, anyone, once again, saying that, like, we're getting carried by Fred and Dylan. Like, I don't really think you're watching the games if that's your conclusion. But yeah, he's been amazing. He's been phenomenal in every aspect of the game that he's played. He had a little bit of a slump, about 3-4 game slump where I was like, man, is he about to sell his all-star candidacy? And he responded with one of, if not, remember, I'm going to say, I think it was his best game period against the Pelicans, because that was like a lot of times when we say LP goes off, it'll be like in blowouts or games where it really wasn't nothing happening. Bro, that was a game where the New Orleans Pelicans recognized that he was going to be the person to beat them, and they tried everything in their power to stop him, and they couldn't do it. And to me, that's like, I haven't seen that level of you can't guard this guy since James Harden in the Rockets. Like, that was the last time I watched somebody just, it didn't matter what you did. You could double him, you know, try to front him, be physical with it. It didn't matter. You know, if you doubled him, he's making the right pass. You leave him in single coverage, he's gonna foul you out the game, or you know he's gonna use the footwork he got. He's gonna do something. You can't throw him off his game. You can't speed him up. You can't throw him off. None of that. Like, and I think there's no better example of that than that Pelicans game where they tried everything in their power to stop LP.
I want to say this really quick about that game. Yeah. He was cooking Valanciunas to the point where he was in foul trouble the whole game, and then they had JRE come in to try to stop him. Jeremiah Robinson, or for those who don't know. And he cooked him the whole game. So if it wasn't Valanciunas, who was in foul trouble, it was going to be JRE getting cooked. And that's how dominant he was.
Yeah, I pulled up the box score. He had 37, 11, and 6, a steal and a block. just dominant. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, for me, I want to see him improve defensively. I think he's done that. If I had to nitpick his game, I would have two complaints. I want him – he's at 9.1 rebounds right now. Give me a double-double. Like, if you can give me an average of a double-double, that'd be really tight. And I think that – I think he – because he's so good at scoring now, I think he recognizes, like, yo, I can score almost all the times that I want to. I think he doesn't necessarily see the same passes that he would see earlier, because he's like, now he's looking to score. Whereas, like, earlier in his career, it was like, I might score, I might pass. I think now it's more like, I'm going to pass if they double or someone's open. You know what I'm saying? So, like, now I'll see times where, like, somebody cuts and he doesn't necessarily see it in the same way he would, like, KJ Martin last year. So, if I had to, like, if I just had to critique, those were the two things, but I'm not really tripping on it. I think he's got his efficiency was kind of dropping. He got it right back up 62 shooting. There's still plenty of time for him to get 10 plus rebounds, and I'm not really concerned about his vision at all. So all around A plus season for me for Shingo.
I want to add one more thing about LP. I still do think at certain points he hesitates way too much on threes.
Oh,
there was
yeah,
one
absolutely.
Point last game where he definitely should have took when he didn't, and I could see everyone, because I was at the game, I said everyone on the bench and the players on the court were like, man, shoot the ball. He's been hitting them. Like he'll step into it with confidence and shoot it, and it looks good, and it'll go in for the most.
That's how it's always been. It's always been if he hesitates and pump fakes, he misses. But the shots where he just walks into it, takes it with confidence, those are the ones. Even if he misses, he's right on target with them. So, yeah, definitely want to see him shoot them more with confidence.
Yeah, one of the minor critiques we have with LP, but yeah, obviously A-plus season with him. So next, we'll go to Jabari Smith Jr. Obviously, he's next in that pecking order. And I personally thought, I mean, if LP didn't have this jump, Jabari by far had one of the best improvements of anybody in the league. He last year at a certain stretch, some would say he was probably the worst player in the NBA, just going off of efficiency, what he came in the league to do, and he wasn't able to do that. He was a no three, no D guy for a while. But now he's a very good defender, in my opinion. And I won't say very, he's a really good defender, in my opinion, and he's a really good shooter, very efficient. And we can go off these last 10 games. I put it on my my page. He's averaging 15 points, 8 boards. But the splits, man, 50% from the field, 42% from three on 4 or 5 attempts a game, and 85% from the free throw line, all while averaging a block as well. So that guy, Jabari, not only is he a 6'11 sniper, he's locks on the perimeter too. And he's been getting a lot of offensive rebounds too. He's playing a lot more aggressive. One thing I love about his game now, he's playing a lot stronger. And Will, I don't know if you've noticed this as well, but when he's getting the ball, he's coming in and he's looking to use his body. Something when he came on our podcast and mentioned he was trying to use his body a lot more and be more strong with the ball, keep the rock closer to the ground when he's dribbling. He's been a lot better with the drives. The post fade looks better. Every aspect of that man's game looks better. And it's great to see, because he did have a slow start. And I'm talking about the first 2 games of the year. And some people in the fan base were ready to ship him off after that Spurs game, but he's all the way shaken back since then. I think that man is having a hell of a season, especially for a 21. Doesn't turn 21 until May. So, man, again, Jabari's having a great season. I don't really have any complaints. Only thing I could complain about is I hope he gets some more looks in the post. I think that mid-range is money, that turnaround fade. He really can't guard it if it's going in. Again, 6'11". Can get off any shot he wants, depending on the matchup. But yeah, that's all I really have to say about that, Will. But yeah, Jabari's playing really well.
Yeah, I think I'll take it a step further. I think that there isn't a single player in the NBA who's improved more from one year to this year than Jabari Smith. Because as you touched on, I mean, there's a lot of metrics and eye tests, all that stuff that depict Ricky Jabari as one of, if not the worst NBA player in the entire league, right? Like, if you go back and look at a lot of the lineup data from his rookie season, he was like next to Deshaun Nix. Jabari was the only guy who was like really tanking lineups. Like if you were to take our same starting lineup from last year and replace Jabari with Tari, we probably have about 3-4 extra wins just looking at the lineup data, right? So that was one thing for me, was like, if one of the reasons why I did predict us being able to make the play-in tournament this year and looking a lot better than a lot of people thought we would, was like a lot of the reason we were bad last year was because our number 3 overall pick was bad. And like, I'm like, as long as he's not bad this year, we should be a whole lot, like that alone should make us a whole lot better than we were last year. And he's been a lot better than shooting than what I imagined him being. Like he's went from absolute negative to neutral to like I said, I think he's one of the best starters in the entire league right now. Like obviously he's not gonna make the All-Star team this year. He's not gonna make an All NBA team. None of that. But in terms of like a quality starter in the NBA, I think Jabari Smith is absolutely that guy right now. His defense has been, you know, he has his moments where it could be better, but I think for the most part, he's been really solid this year. He's rebounding the ball really, really well. His three-point shot was the most perplexing thing I've ever saw in my life last year. He's sniping now, you know, like he's pulling up, taking more confidence. He's shooting over people. The mid-range is money. It was, you know, that was one thing that we did see him have last year. He's continued it a lot into this year, the fadeaway. It's got to the point now where Jabari rises up in the like in between the arc, I expect it to go in. Like I'm fairly confident that if he takes that shot, he's gonna make it. And then he's also shown me some fluidity and some, you know, his handle isn't necessarily perfect just yet, but it's a whole lot better than it was last year. And so yeah, just all around, I think he's improved just literally every aspect of his game. He's really efficient now. He has a 60.4 true shooting, which is amazing. I want to say he had what was he at last year? Let's see. Let's look it up.
Without looking it up, I want to say it was around like 51.
54.
He got up to 54.
No, Lord have mercy. It was not. It was 51.4. So which it went from god awful.
Mercy is crazy.
Yeah, that's terrible. I don't remember it being that bad. But yeah.
As a power forward, yeah,
51.4 to 60.4. So a 9 point, which like if you don't know anything about your shooting, that's insane. Like that's a giant. That he went from god awful inefficient to above league average efficient. And like I said, to do that in one offseason, that's why I've been praising Jabari all season long. Cause I'm like, I think we did a lot, and rightfully so, criticizing of his game last year. He's been amazing this year. So I want to make sure that we speak on it. Speak on Jabari's improvements just as we talked about when he was struggling last year. But yeah, like all around. I've loved everything I've seen from Jabari. And on top of it, let me shout him out too, because there was a point in time, during that first one show we went on where he got benched. I think it was either a game or two where Udoka closed the game with Jeff Green. And a lot of guys would get mad at that or, you know, start pouting, start getting, you know, oh, why doesn't coach want to play me? You know, there's a whole lot of ways you can respond to being benched for a veteran. Jabari was like, that means I got something to learn. I just got to sit back and watch. And he immediately came back. Like yeah, from that moment forward, he's been a different player entirely. So shout out to him. I love that mentality. It's the same mentality we talked about this offseason where like a lot of guys who, you know, go top five, top three, don't play summer league their second season. That's not very normal. So for him to have that mentality, like I got work to do and, you know, I can still learn, I can still improve, even though I was top three pick, like I haven't proved nothing in this league. I think that mentality will take Jabari a really long way. And so, yeah, I'm just really impressed with everything I've seen from him this year.
Yeah, and Will, I'll kick it off with you. Next player, we're going to go with Tari Eason, guy who I think has been one of the best bench players in the NBA this season. So I'll share some stats and stuff about Tari right after Will goes. So what are your thoughts on Tari this year?
Dog. That's really the best way I can describe it. He's a dog. We missed him. I think that we started with 0-3. Is that when we start the season? Yeah. We probably beat the Spurs with Tari, and then that Golden State game got out of hand at the very end. So maybe we stink that one with Tari in the lineup too. But I mean, it was apparent from the moment he came back into the lineup how much of a difference he's made, and he's been phenomenal. Every step of the way, he's the same player he was last year, but better. It's hard to describe if you do not watch Tari Eason. Like people at home who haven't initially watched him or like just check the stats, because matter of fact, I want to look up his numbers. I actually don't think they're not nothing eye popping. Yeah, like it's 10 points. You can round up seven rebounds is crazy, but seven rebounds, about a block, but it's on 53 shooting, which I just like that's not nothing to write home about. But if you watch, like, I promise you, he's one of the most impactful players on our team. Like, we the games where he's not there, we miss him because he just does something not just one thing. He does three or four things every single night, whether it's diving for a loose ball. I can't say the amount of times where the opposing team will grab a defensive rebound, you blink, and Tari has the ball. And you're like, how did he get the rock? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how we going back on defense, and Tari is laying the ball up. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he just does something every single night where it's like He makes a winning play. That's the best way I can describe it. Like Tari Eason plays winning basketball. He plays himself into exhaustion every time he plays. You don't ever have to question his effort, his heart, his grit, none of that. Like he's the same guy. If we're up 30, if we're down 30. And like I said it last year. I think that this is another thing with Jabari. Like this is a guy who I think all 30 NBA teams would love. I don't know if I said this in the show, I said like on the space before, but I think that if you were to, well, it's probably a little different now because Shingun's been really good, but like especially last year, I think if you were to ask the 29 other teams in the NBA to pick one player from our roster to add to their team, I think they're picking Tari. I really do. Like I think a lot of teams, you know, just in terms of like his portability, the way he can scale up, he can scale down, he can play multiple positions, multiple roles, guard multiple positions, multiple roles. I think, you know, well, we got Dylan now, and Dylan's been going crazy. So I don't, you know, it's a little bit tougher now. We got more guys, but of our core six, once you get past Shingun, and you know, a lot of teams might already have their stars established. I think it's Tari. Like if anybody we could pick, I've heard a lot of like, you know, fans on Twitter like, what do y'all want for Tari? I'm like, man, we're not trading him. Like he can retire a Rocket if I get my way. So yeah, I love everything I'm seeing from Tari this year. He's been great.
Yeah, I just want to pull some quick stats on Tari. One I just found. I mean, these past eight games, he's had two or more steals in each one of them. So he's the youngest Rockets player to ever do that, and he's one of only seven Rockets players to ever do that. Going back to, of course, 1967. That's impressive in itself. 2.9 steals per game in that span. For players off the bench, he's averaging 1.4 steals a game. That's the most. That's the second most outside of Matisse Thybulle, who's, of course, known for his defense. As for his offensive rebound, he's averaging 2.1 of those a game off the bench. That's by far the most out of any forward that's coming off the bench. So that's how impactful he is. As Will mentioned, I believe as well. Outside of Shingun, he's definitely the most impactful player on that team. When he's out there, it looks like he always finds a way to put his hands on the basketball. And that goes with his 7'2 wingspan, and it's also his hand size. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I want to say I saw that he had one of the 10 biggest hand sizes in NBA history. And I'll go back and look for it. But yeah, just watching him is crazy. Again, the 53 true shooting percentage is a surprise, but watching him out there, yeah, definitely a really good basketball player. And he's just staying in Houston for a very long time. Yeah, it just seems like on defense, he's everywhere. He's locks, and he's turning defense into offense. So one of those defensive playmakers. But yeah, looking at this last game, 17 points, 3 steals. When everyone's clicking, he's not a guy you have to call a play for. He can just go out there and score. Again, because he finds a way to get the basketball. If someone's missing it, he's going to get the board. One of my favorite stats from this past year, there was like on possessions where there's a miss, the Rockets were getting like 38% of the misses when Tari was on the floor. Like some absurd, of course, like in the 99th percentile in the NBA. But yeah, man, Tari is one of those guys you have to love. Every NBA team, as Will mentioned, would love a Tari Eason. So there's not much to say after that. The kid's a baller, only 22 years old, still going to get way better. That's why some people like to call him Baby Kawhi. We'll see how he progresses. But at the bare minimum, that kid's going to be a hooper for a long time. But yeah, that's all I got on Tari. That covers four of the young core members. Now we'll kick it off to Amen. You know, he just played his twin yesterday. Actually had his best game of his career, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, and shot 5 of 6 from the field. 2 steals as well, I should mention. But yeah, great game from him. Will, we'll start with you. What do you think about Amen so far this year?
We missed him. He went down, I believe it was that fourth game of the season.
It was against the Hornets, Yeah,
he went down. He missed about a month, I believe. And then when he came back, he played a game, but then he got sick.
Yeah.
I guess bro had like the worst form of COVID possible or something. I don't know. But he missed probably like another week or two, I think, with illness. So I think for him, a lot of it was that he just didn't have a lot of opportunity due to injury and illness. And by the time he came back, like Aaron Holiday was kind of – he was exceeding expectations, at least for what we thought we were going to get out of Aaron Holiday. So, like, it was kind of hard for him to come back and kind of just get that second unit back in his hands like he did when he was before he got hurt. And I think he was also kind of playing himself back into game shape and game speed. And that's why we've seen him, you know, more recently or, like, yesterday. I agree. I think that was his best game so far. He looked a lot more in control. He looked a lot more comfortable on the floor. I don't think the box score really reflects how well he was finding guys good looks, right? Because a lot of times they didn't get converted to assists, but he's an automatic paint touch already, and he is more than capable of finding the guy who's the defense collapse off of, right? So, like, if you're in the corner, he can find you. And that's something that we don't really have. Like, as good as Fred has been, that's not really Fred's bag. Like, I think Amen and maybe Shingun are two guys on this team who can do that consistently. And so, yeah, I love what I saw from Amen yesterday. In terms of that, I thought he created a lot of good quality looks, even if he didn't necessarily get the assist, generating the look or like getting the hockey assist. Like, I thought he was really good at doing that. And I love the fact that Udoka, I don't know if it was because it was twin night, but definitely because it was a blowout that we just kind of left them out there. Because I think right now for Amen, and it's kind of the same thing I'll say for Cam, I think right now he just needs confidence. He just needs to, like, he needs to know in his head, I can compete every night. And I think once he gets that confidence, like, I can compete, I'm good, I think that's when we're going to start seeing him take off. The only real critique I have of him so far is his handle. I think his handle, even more than his jumper, because, I mean, he made a three yesterday. He takes middies and he makes them. So, like, I'm not really – his jumper, I have not watched a single game yet where – and Amaji hasn't played that much. But in the time he's played, I ain't watched him play yet where I'm like, man, if only he had a jumper, he would have, you know, impacted more. Like, his jumper hasn't really held him back. It's his handle. His handle is not as tight as you'd want it to be. It kind of prevents him from getting to certain spots on the floor. So I think normally he tightens that up and, like I said, he gets that confidence and that, like, that trust in his abilities, I think is just about to get scary.
Yeah, I definitely think it'll get scary. I don't know when, but it definitely will. And I know it's the G League, but when he rattled off in his first G League game, his first game and maybe a month after his injury, he had 29 points, 16 boards, and 11 assists. Yeah, that told me what I needed to know. And sometimes you can look at a player in the G League and they're just putting up numbers, but he was legit doing everything possible, and it all looked very translatable. But I want to talk about some of his NBA numbers that have been really impressive. Right now on the short season, on a low sample, of course, shooting 55% from mid-range. We'll all take that. That's really good for Amen Thompson, and it looks really impressive too. Yesterday he had a nice came into the paint, spin, and hit a step back, knocked it down. He's been stepping into a lot of middies as well. That's really good. That's promising. He's shooting 70% as well in the restricted area. Our guy Vader mentioned it recently. He can get his feet in the paint whenever he wants to. That's how athletic he is. That's how quick he is. And when he's doing that, he's able to find other people around him. That's why, me personally, I still think he should be running the offense in the second unit over Aaron Holiday. I really like what Aaron Holiday has brought to this Rockets team on that veteran minimum. Best shooter on the team at the moment, if you're going off the numbers. So I'd like to see him get some more catch and shoot opportunities off of Amen's sheer ability to get to the paint and facilitate to others. I would love to see more of that. But yeah, Amen, I will say, at certain times he's not aggressive enough. It seems like sometimes he gets the rock, he doesn't know quite what he wants to do with it. And that's what happens. Again, it takes a while for young guards to really get used to the NBA. We saw with Scoot Henderson, who's been terrible to start the year, and now he's starting to pick it up. Same thing's going to happen with Amen Thompson. Once he gets used to everything, he's gonna hit the ground running. He's gonna be really good. So I'd like to see him get those reps. I know Udoka is in the business of winning basketball games. So if he doesn't feel like Amen's there yet, I mean, he obviously doesn't. For him to not have the keys at the moment, I'm sure he will soon, though. I'm sure he will soon, and that's when this Rockets team is gonna take another step, because Amen, that man can hoop, and I still think he'll be a top two player in this young core. So I'm excited to see that when it happens. But yeah, that's what I got on Amen. More so impressed with that restricted area field goal percentage of 70 and the midi being 55%. That's really good. But last but not least, we got our guy Cam Whitmore, who hasn't been getting a lot of playing time. But when he gets out there, you know he's going to put up a lot of shots, and he's going to make a lot of shots too. That's what he's been doing. So we'll start with you. What you think about Cam?
My preseason problems with Cam and some of the issues I saw it in summer league, I saw it in Villanova, I saw it in the G League, was just he was a ball stopper and he would fall asleep on defense sometimes, and those are two things that I know that Udoka doesn't really want on his team. He went to the G League, he's came back, and I mean, I guess my opinion does have the caveat that just about all except for, I forgot what game. I think it was the Hawks game. I don't know. It was one game where he did get some burn in the first quarter. With the exception of that game, I think just about all his minutes have come from garbage time. So I will add that caveat that it is mostly he's playing against like third stringers and guys who aren't necessarily trying to who aren't necessarily in rotation normally. But I don't really see those concerns as much anymore. I don't really see him catching the ball and just like obviously he looks to score what you want him to do, but I don't necessarily see him taking a bad shot over passing to a teammate anymore. I don't really see his defense being an issue as much anymore either. And we have a lot of injuries at the wing position right now. Jabari did just come back, but Dylan is still out, and we don't really know when he's coming back. And, you know, Jayshon Tate, his plays went up and down. I thought Tate had a good game yesterday, but he's also had a lot of games where he hasn't been as impactful. And, you know, like Reggie Bullock got some burn. I think that at that point, like, just let's see Cam out there. My only thing, I guess, is we don't see these guys in practice. We don't see these guys behind closed doors. And obviously, I don't think Cam's a bad person, but, you know, maybe there's some things that Udoka sees in practice. Like, okay, I need him to work on this before I can trust him with the role. So, you know, that's just my speculation as for why he may initially get as, you know, a rotation role right now. But it kind of looks to me like he's at least ready to experiment with it. I like what I see. He comes in, I think he had like 5 points in 30 seconds yesterday. Like when he checked in, it was ridiculous. He got like I think it was a dunk and then he hit a three. And like I said, like I spent like 30 seconds. So he's a walking bucket. If there's one guy, so you don't have to worry about, you know, putting shots up as Cam. It's not really much to talk about with him because he hasn't necessarily got as much opportunity yet. But I'm hoping that as the season progresses, we'll start seeing his opportunity increase.
Yeah, Will made a great point. Of course, most of his games, except for one of them, he's only had one game this season with actual rotation minutes. I'll say that it has been garbage time. But Will pretty much said everything that needed to be said about Cam. You know, he's going to go in there, he's going to put up shots, and he's going to look. I mean, I'll say this, because Will, like I said, I think you really put it in perspective. But stat-wise, I'll just say this. In the restricted area, he's shooting 13 and 16, which is insane, over 80%. And again, the three-point shot in the corner, he hasn't missed yet. So I think he's a good plug-and-play for this Rockets team. Good energy. The defense has been better, I think. Primarily, he was sent to the G League because of the tunnel vision. The tunnel vision was bad, and they wanted him to look better on defense. I thought the defense has been better from Cam. I'd like to see him get another shot. It might not happen until after the trade deadline. There is a logjam. That's the reason Udoka said Cam was not going to be playing. He's talking about the forward position, of course. You got guys like Tate out there, Reggie Bullock, again, who's been playing recently. I'm curious to see what happens if they maybe get rid of Jayshon Tate to open up minutes for Cam. Maybe they don't do that. But whenever Cam gets in there, I'm gonna be stoked because, man, he's gotten into the game and made an impact immediately. And I still believe currently he's a great fit with Alperen Şengün. I said this as soon as he was drafted. Cam's a really good cutter, and Şengün will find him if he cuts. And Cam, again, good spot-up three-point shooter. Alperen Şengün, who gets doubled every time he gets the ball in the post, can find him. Fred VanVleet. He's been really good at pick and roll. He's going to be able to find him. So I'd like to see Cam get a chance. I think I can't see a reason for Cam to really mess up anything that's going on for the Rockets. And if he does, he can get pulled. But at least give him a chance to get some actual rotation minutes. It is kind of crazy, in my opinion. He's only had one game this year with minutes at the start of the game. So I'm looking forward to that. I like what I've seen from Cam. He goes out there. He has fun. He's hitting threes. He's smiling. He goes out there and dunks on Marvin Bagley and starts cracking up. So I enjoy him out there. Good energy isn't what's the word I'm looking for, Will? It's contagious. And he definitely gives that off. So that's the last thing I got to say about Cam. Overall, this young core of six is extremely impressive to me. A top three young core in the NBA. No bias. That is a very good core of six. And when we start seeing them play, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, only twice this year they've all played. We still haven't seen them all play. Actually, no, the Suns game, they all played in the rotation, right, to start the game? Or I'd have to go check.
Maybe it was the Suns game where Cam got first quarter minutes. Whatever game it was. I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah. Point being, though, when those six are out there consistently, this is going to be a crazy rock. It's going to be fun. But that's all I got to say about this podcast. Will, did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
No.
That's all right. Yeah. Well, Will and I enjoy this. It's been a minute since we recorded. We're going to be on here a little more often, get you guys some more updates about this Rockets team, who stands at 16-15, 1-0 in 2024. Great start to the season. Again, nobody predicted we'd be 16-15. The over-under was 31.5. So great start to the year. We're excited to come back with more episodes later, but appreciate y'all for tuning in, and we'll be back soon.